Good morning. It's good to be back with you guys this morning as we continue in our study of the Gospel of John. And I got to tell you, it's really good to be back here. You know, I've not been away, you know, for like 2 years until the last couple of weeks, and it just feels right to be back here. So I praise God that I'm here with you. My family and I had a refreshing vacation, but we missed being here. So we're going to be in, we're still in John chapter 1, and I'm going to go ahead and read 35 through 51 again, and then we'll pray and we'll begin the message. So, John chapter 1, beginning in verse 35. The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come together. Father, I thank you for all that are here this morning. We just pray that you would bless our time together. Father, we just pray that you would, Lord, that you would draw us to you as we spend time in your word. Father, we just, if there's anyone here that has never known you, has never seen the Son, Father, we just pray that you would reveal that to them this morning, that they would believe the gospel, and Father, that they would be saved. And Father, we thank you again for the opportunity. We just ask that you would strengthen all of us, that we would continue to believe. We would, as we face struggles or trials in our life, things that come up, that we would continually turn to you. And Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for preserving it for us. And we just praise you, praise your holy name, and ask that you would bless our time in the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I almost feel like I could just stop now after reading that. I probably shouldn't. But Marshall spoke on this section last week, and you know, he spoke of the effectual call of those who are given to Christ, and he spoke of the effectual call and the evidence of that we see in the disciples as they were called at different times. And so here in our text, I just thought it would be good to go through again and kind of think about the call of each of these disciples. And I just want to remind you where we're at. You know that we began here with the next day Jesus decided, or I'm sorry, we began here with the next day. the next day, talking about him calling the first disciples. But just before this, in the previous verses in John 1, 29 through 34, remember what John said. He saw Jesus coming to him, and so the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him. This is speaking of John the Baptist. And said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came, baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.'" So this was John speaking of Jesus when Jesus came to John. And this was the testimony that John had given, that this was the Lamb of God. And then as you look back further, you remember John had just, the day before that, had been asked by the Pharisees who he was. So that he was out in the wilderness baptizing people for repentance, John the Baptist was. The Pharisees came, or they sent people to ask who he was. And you remember his confession. He confessed that he, speaking of himself, John, was not the Christ. He said he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord," like Isaiah the prophet had said. And so John said, "I am not the Christ. I'm the one preparing the way." And then here in this witness, you see that he says that that was the reason he came. And so all of this happened. And you see that declaration in verse 29. So he had told them, "I'm not the Christ," but the very next day he sees Jesus coming. And John declared this bold declaration in verse 29. The next day he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And John the Baptist, you know, there in verse 31, he says that was the purpose that he came, was to reveal the Son of God. And now he's seen him come. He sees the Lamb of God. And he reveals and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then in verse 34, he says, "This is the Son of God." John the Baptist came, lived his whole life doing a ministry, and he comes to this point in his life and he has declared, he's fulfilled his purpose and declared it. That was the purpose of everything. That's why he was born. When he leapt in his mother's womb, when his mother was next to Mary, he leapt because he was there for that purpose. He declared to Mary and to his mother that this is the Son of God in his mother's womb. That was his entire purpose. And he sees the Lamb coming and declares, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then we come to a verse from this morning. So this is the very next day after this that he said, "And I've seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The very next day, we see that the next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. So he's standing here with two of his disciples. These are his disciples that apparently he's been teaching. You know, he's been teaching. A disciple means a learner that's kind of under someone. So these were John's disciples. So apparently, you know, you think of these disciples, and this isn't in the sermon, I've misunderstood this a lot. You know, I think of the disciples when Jesus called them in Matthew and Mark in the Synoptic Gospels, that, you know, they're out fishing. Peter's out fishing. He's never seen. And this guy just walks up and says, you know, "Come, I'll make you fishers of men." I misunderstood it till I was studying this. All that time I was thinking that that call right there was so powerful that they just left their nets and followed him. Left their father. And I'm always thinking their father is just sitting there, wait, guys. You know, we're trying to make a living here. Where are you going? But that's not the case. We see here this is earlier. See, these guys knew Jesus before he came. And like Marshall talked about in his sermon, there was a specific call to be apostles later on where he called them and they left and followed him. But I got to thinking about their father as they're leaving the boat, you know, later on. You know, you think of these brothers are there. What are they doing? What are they talking about? You know, you can just imagine that they're discussing this. So when Jesus came and had them leave, I think their father probably understood why they left. You know, it's a little bit of a different perspective there. But in our text this morning, that's further on. Let's go back to our text this morning. But we see these are disciples of John. So they've been spending time with John. He's been teaching them. They've been learning from him. They've been there speaking with John. They're standing there at this time speaking with John. So it seems to me to point to a close relationship between John and his disciples and John the teacher, these two disciples that are with him. So he looks at Jesus. It says as Jesus is walking by, and then we read in verse 36, he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He's speaking to these two disciples that are with him. "Behold, the Lamb of God." He repeats the declaration he made the day before to these two individual disciples of his. And it's sort of like he's saying to them as Jesus is walking by, "Behold, the Lamb of God." It's like he's seeing, there's a recognition there that he's been preparing these disciples, these two that were with him, these close friends that he knew well. I would think they were close friends. They're at least disciples of his. They've been there listening to the teaching. And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." It's sort of like John is pointing them towards Jesus. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And Jesus is walking by. And you see the reaction of the two disciples. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And so they heard him, and they followed Jesus. So I think we can see here that John understood that his purpose, his whole ministry, everything that he was there to do, he could see the end of it coming. But he saw the fulfillment of it in this Jesus that was walking by. And it almost seems to me that he's encouraging these two to follow. You know what I'm saying? Jesus is walking by, and he says, "Look, behold the Lamb of God," you know, sort of, you know, go. And so he's encouraging them to follow. And they followed. So they take off behind Jesus. And then what was Jesus' response? So Jesus is walking by and he turns and there's two guys following along behind him. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them in verse 38, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Can you imagine? Just think for a minute. Can you imagine yourself in this spot? Remember, these were Jews. They were raised, taught these things. All the prophecies, everything that they had learned, they knew it was pointing to this Messiah that was coming. John had been speaking of this. He says, "Here is the Lamb of God." And encourages them to follow, and they start walking behind Jesus. Can you imagine if Jesus was here now? And just the awe that you would have. You're walking behind him, and everything they had been taught about their whole lives, the prophecies, the law, all of the things, everything, all of that was pointing to this Lamb of God that was coming. And here he is. He's here. The Lamb is here. John has announced the Lamb is here. "Behold, the Lamb of God." Here he is, and we're following him. Just imagine. Jesus turns, though, and asks them, what are you seeking? So Jesus turns around and says, "What are you seeking?" I think their answer says a lot. You know, how would you answer that? They might not have known exactly what are we doing here. So... But he turned around and asked, "What are you seeking?" And they responded, "Rabbi," which means teacher. "Where are you staying?" So to begin with, they called him Rabbi, which was a term that meant teacher. Like there would be a disciple and then the rabbi, the person teaching. It was a title of dignity given to people, to the teachers of the law, those who were distinguished in teaching the law of the Jewish people. It was a title of honor. And so I think they, in their own way, John has said, "Behold the Lamb, go." They in their own way are going to Jesus and saying, "Will you be our teacher? Will you be our rabbi? Will you teach us?" Without just coming out and saying it, they say, "Rabbi." And then they said, "Where are you staying?" Which I think is just sort of a polite way to say, "We want to, you know, we're wanting to go with you. Will you teach us?" But they said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Sort of like if you were kind of wanting to do something with somebody tomorrow, and you in a polite, respectful way, like, let's just say I kind of wanted to go visit with Marshall tomorrow afternoon. And I might, instead of saying, "Can I come over to your house tomorrow?" I might say, "Marshall, what are you doing tomorrow afternoon?" Sort of that type of, you know, so they call him teacher, rabbi, but say, "Where are you staying?" And so they were reverently approaching the Lamb of God. He asked them. You see what happened, though? They were coming up behind him, and he turns and speaks to them. What do you seek? What are you seeking? And they said this, and they desired to know more of him. I think they wanted to follow him. But you see the reverence and the fear they would have for him. This is the Christ. The Christ is here. We're walking behind him. We've heard him spoken of all these years. He's here. And then he turns and speaks to us. And they politely said that. They approached him, and he said, and they asked, where do you stay? Where are you staying? But notice his response to them. He said to them, come and you will see. Come and you will see. So John had pointed them and declared who he was to them, and they had responded this way. And his response was, "Come, and you will see." Now, I believe that's the response of Jesus. That's the response of God. Anytime someone has a desire to be taught by him and to follow him, we can approach God in that way through Jesus. We can approach Jesus and desire to follow him, desire to know more about him. And I think that's the response he gives. Come and see. Come and see. And they went and they saw. They went and they saw. They saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So they saw where he was staying. They saw the Son of God that who had come into the world, the King of the Jews. What do you think they saw where he went? It was a humble dwelling. You know, it doesn't really describe it to us, but what does it say about the Son of Man? He comes without a place to lay his head. He didn't come as someone with a lot. He came to serve. The Son of God, Jesus, came to serve, not to be served by mankind. He came to serve. And so they saw where he was. They spent the day with him, and he served them, I think. He served them. He ministered to them. In this time, it doesn't say what he did, but I'm sure that, you know, he was, you see the hospitality, come and see where I stay. And so they spent the day with him because it was the 10th hour, our scripture says, which most people believe that's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It depends on which calendar. Some calendars it would be in the morning. I think it was the Roman calendar was different than the Jewish calendar. But all of the apostles usually spoke about the Jewish calendar. But either way, he spent the day. It says he spent the day with them and probably spent the night with Jesus, the disciples did. So they spent all this time the rest of the day. And can you imagine that? Can you imagine? They were with Jesus. We can only wonder what he taught and told them while they're at the time that he spent with them. We're not told about that. But just imagine being in that position. You know, this man that you've been looking for all this time, John the Baptist, our teacher, declared it and declared that he was the Lamb of God. And here we are at his dwelling with him. And it affected them. But Jesus was open to them coming. And then in verse 41, well, let's read verse 40. In our text in verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So one of the two was Andrew. It doesn't mention who the other one was. Now this is something I haven't really noticed before either. There were two that went with Jesus. It mentions Andrew here. And in my mind, I always say Andrew and Peter, sort of. But it's not, because Andrew goes to get Peter. So there was another one there, another of the two that went. A lot speculate that that was John the Apostle, because he doesn't mention himself in a lot of the scriptures, but we really don't know. I mean, I've looked and looked, and that's what a lot of people think. But it doesn't really mention who he was, but it doesn't really matter, because the important thing is that one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. One of the two was Andrew. And what did Andrew do? The reaction after he spent time with Jesus was, he first found, in verse 41, he first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. So you can see in Andrew, he spent time with Jesus. Jesus accepted him, was welcoming to them. And you can see that the fruit of this knowledge about Christ, about the Messiah, he found out who the Messiah was. What was the fruit? What happened? Andrew had a desire to share it immediately, and he went to find his brother Peter. And so one who truly comes to this knowledge of who Christ is cannot help but share it with others. You just can't help doing that. Sometimes we look at that like that's a duty, that we go out, and it is. I mean, God told us, He commanded us to we go, to make disciples of all nations. But we're to do that, but it's something that really should come pretty much natural to us. And it's not so much knowing all the details, but just sharing. Hey, like he did to Peter, to Simon Peter, we've found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. So you see that Andrew, his first thought was to share. And I think of you think of Andrew and Peter. You can't hardly help but think that they were close. You know, they're kind of close brothers. His first thought is to go share it with Peter. And in my imagination, the way that he declared it to Peter, which was he said, "We have found the Messiah," was that Peter was looking for the Messiah also. Peter knew of this Messiah. You can imagine that they probably sat talking to one another about the Messiah that was coming. Andrew was going and listening to John. Peter possibly could have gone and listened to John. You can't say that he did, but he could have. But at least his brother was, so you can imagine that they spoke of these things. I imagine that Andrew and Peter were brought up with their parents as some, being taught these things, discipled their whole lives, looking for this promised seed, the Messiah. Maybe, maybe not, but it's very possible in the way that they were raised. But you see that they had a close relationship. They had spoken of these things somewhat, I think. But you see Andrew going excitedly to his brother and saying, "We found the Messiah. We found the Messiah." And he takes his brother Peter to Jesus. And then in verse 42 says, he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. So he brought Peter to Jesus. And if you'll notice here, Jesus knew who Simon was, did he not? It says, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. So Jesus knew who he was. And we see a declaration here when he renaming of him. This is the first time that Peter's seen Jesus. Peter goes to him. I keep saying Peter, Simon. His name is Simon. His name is not Peter. His name is Simon. Simon goes to Jesus, and Jesus says, "You're Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," or Peter, or Rock. "You shall be called Cephas." So Jesus declares, he renames him right here and gives him, he acknowledges that he's son of John, he acknowledges his family name, but then he renames him and gives him a new name. And in this declaration, he's kind of giving Peter right here at the beginning a sort of a special recognition or honor. And I think he's also kind of declaring that you, I am renaming you. You are now part of my family. You're part of me. You're part of my group. And so Peter, so John sent the first two disciples to Jesus. John encouraged them to follow Jesus. And then we see in Peter, one of those went and got Peter and brought him to Jesus. So we see an encouragement to follow and then a bringing to Jesus. And then as we go on the next day, let's read in verse 143, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow him." So the next day Jesus leaves and goes to Galilee, and he found Philip and declares, "Follow me." So you have Andrew and the other disciple were appointed to follow Jesus. And then you had Peter who was actually brought to Jesus by his brother. And this we have Philip who is found by Jesus. So Jesus went to Galilee. He went out and notice the word. Notice in verse 43, the word of God. This is the word of God, but the word of God says that Jesus found him. Jesus sought Philip and found him. And then in verses 44, let's see what Philip did. So let's see. Well, verse 44. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So Jesus said to Philip, "Follow me." And Philip followed him. But you see, immediately, just right after this, Philip went and found Nathanael. Philip left and found Nathanael. And I was trying to figure out who this Nathanael was, but you know, there's not a disciple named or an apostle named Nathanael. But most people, I'm leaving some of this for James. He can work on it next week too. But most people think that Bartholomew is Nathanael. There's a belief of that. Possibly, maybe not, but we'll find out later. But Nathanael, you know, something to do with the meaning of the name, says son of so and so. You know what Nathanael means, but that's not really important. Philip went and found this Nathanael, and it seems that he's a friend or you know, possibly a friend or maybe a family member. I'm not really sure, but he went. It doesn't say he's his brother, so I'm assuming he's a friend or an acquaintance. But Philip left and found Nathanael. And notice what he declared to him. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. So I'm thinking in this Philip and Nathanael, this friend, he goes and declares, "We have found him. We have found him of whom the prophets and Moses wrote. We found him." And it seems to me that his friend, you know, it's the same way. These guys were not unknowledgeable about these things. You know, because of the way their friends or their brothers are declaring it to them. "We found the Messiah. We found him whom Moses, the law, and also the prophets wrote." We see that. And so Philip declares this to Nathanael, and then he goes on. He is Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. So I think we can kind of see in Nathanael's response here, his, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I always thought that was sort of a, some people think that it's sort of a prejudice against the people of Nazareth. You know, possibly there's some of that in there. But really, I think it's the idea that Nathanael knew the scriptures. And where does it say that the Messiah is coming from Nazareth? You know, so his friend comes to him all excited. Come on, we've seen the one who is spoken of in the law and the prophets. Come, we've found him. It's Jesus of Nazareth. So his response is this excitement of his friend doesn't drive him to immediately just respond and go blindly, does it? He says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? But you see the response of his friend, or of Philip. Philip doesn't debate with him or go into explanation. He just says, come and see. Come and see. The invitation to come. And in verse 48, we read that he came to Jesus. Well, I'll just read 47. Says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. But Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And the main thing I want to focus on for this week is Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. That's the main thing I want to focus on and leave the rest for next week. He comes to Jesus, but in Jesus' response to Philip, to Nathanael, he says, before Philip even came to you, I saw you. Jesus knew him. Jesus knew Nathanael. Jesus knew him. Jesus tells Nathanael where he was, that he was under a fig tree before Philip called him, and that he saw him there. And typically guys would go under a fig tree because it was kind of a secluded area. And I think it was a place that they would go do devotionals and really think on God and meditate on God. And I think that's probably the case. He was there meditating about these things when Philip came. We don't know that for sure, but it was a common practice to do that. But Philip came to Nathanael. Nathanael went. He went to see. And Jesus said, before Philip came, I saw you. And so Marshall had spoken last week about the effectual call, the idea that it's a doctrine that says when God calls someone, it has an effect. It causes them to come. And as we read in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. We see the idea that the only way someone can come to Jesus is that the Father draws them. That's this effectual call. It's like God has to be drawing them before they can even come. They won't even desire to come. And so that is the idea of the effectual call. It's only by God's calling that anyone will come. But we see in our scriptures this morning this call of Jesus, these personal, individual calls that happen with these different disciples. And we can think of the different ways that he came, that he called them. But as we think of the call of God, as we think of becoming disciples, as we think of an effectual call or a specific individual call that God does, he calls people, and it has an effect. It causes people to desire to follow after Jesus. All of these things we think of when we read this scripture, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. We think of those things. I think, in my mind, typically, we always people that respond to that negatively, if you think of that negatively, are thinking more like, and some of you might have responded negatively to it, but what I want you to say is, you could be sitting here going, okay, there's an effectual call. did that happen to me? You know, you can sit there and think, well, I wonder if my call was the effectual call. Am I really born again? Do I really know Jesus? Did I come to Him properly? All these things can come into your mind. You know, when you talk of the effectual call, when you talk of God calling, and you might say, well, I wonder if He really called me. You know, did He? And that's stuff that might kind of cause us to wonder sometimes. Did I have a real effectual call? What if I was mistaken about it and it wasn't a real deal? What if God wasn't calling me and I just am trusting in this gospel and following after Jesus and it's just to no avail? Well, if you're trusting in Jesus and following after Him, I want to tell you, you had an effectual call. You had an effectual call. So as we think of the call of God, as we think of these things, we see that God calls us all in different ways, and we can see it in these stories of these disciples here this morning. You had two that were there studying with John. They were disciples of John. They were waiting on the Messiah to come. John was telling it, and they were sent after Him by John. John saw Him and said, look, behold the Lamb of God, go follow Him. They were sent to Him by John. And then one of those guys, Andrew, went. He had seen the Messiah. John saw the Messiah, the Lamb of God. So Andrew goes and he's taught by Him. And then what does he do? He goes and grabs his brother. You know, and he brings his brother to Jesus. And then another one, Philip, Jesus went and found him and said, follow Me. So God uses different means, but it's always Him going and finding us like He did with Philip in each of these situations. Because we can see even in the way Nathanael came, what did God say? I saw you before Philip came. It's always Jesus going and finding them. Jesus Christ knew each of them before they even came. He knew them by name. He had sought after them. Those that just followed Him without Him knowing about it, what did He say? He said, come and see. So we see all of these things, but I want you to say that each call is different for each of us, but we can rest. I want to encourage you all, you can rest in knowing that John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in Me shall never thirst. In 37, all that the Father gives Me will come to Me, and whoever comes to Me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me. And this is the will of Him who sent Me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given Me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of My Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So I can declare to you this morning from the Scripture, the Scriptures declare to you that we have found the Messiah. We have seen the Messiah. The one who was spoken of by the Law and the Prophets. The one who John said, behold, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He was spoken of all throughout the Scriptures. He came to take away sins. So I can declare from the Scripture that and encourage you to behold this Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. He was a spotless Lamb. He came was spotless, without sins. He took on the sins of others. He took your sins upon Himself. And He died on the cross, taking the punishment that we deserve. That's what Jesus came for. He came to live a perfect, sinless life. And He went to the cross and took the punishment that we all deserve for our sins. He took those upon Himself. And He died for those sins. But then He rose from the grave. He was risen from the grave and He conquered death. And he right now he's at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's right there at the right hand of the Father, sending the Spirit to call those who would believe. He's doing it right now. He's doing it all over the world right now in every nation. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he's seeking out those that he knows by name. And the Scripture, the very Word of God, declares that to you. It declares it. So if you desire to follow Him, like those two apostles, if you desire to follow Him, if you're here seeking Him, if you're here learning about Him, if you see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior, if you're here for that reason, I tell you, He says to you, come and see. Come and see. So come and see. I encourage you, come and see. Believe it. Believe that He was who He says He was. Just turn away from your sins. Turn away from your reliance on yourself, on your own righteousness. Turn towards Him, knowing that you're a sinner. Turn away from your own self-righteousness and turn towards Him and trust in that sacrifice. Trust in what He did. Trust in the atonement that was paid for on the cross. And follow Jesus. Seek after Him, and you will find Him if you seek after Him. And so I just encourage you all to do that. And you can trust in knowing that if your desire is to follow Him, He's standing there saying, come and see. And the longer you follow Him, the more you will see. And it's going to grow and grow and grow. Like He said to Nathaniel there at the end, you'll see greater things than these. So seek Him, follow Him, and you'll see greater things than what you're seeing right now. And that is my encouragement to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the Gospel. Thank You for the good news. Thank You for all that You accomplished on our behalf by sending Your Son, the perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb, to take our sin upon Himself. And Father, I just pray if there's anyone here that has not believe that before, Father, that You would just give them that faith to believe, that You would just give them a desire to just to trust in that, to put all of their trust in that. It's not something we do. It's not something we earn. It's something that was done for us, and we can just sit back and behold the Lamb, and just we praise You for that. Praise You for that good news, that it's not up to us to keep the law, but it's up to us to trust in our law keeper, the one who came and kept it on our behalf. And Father, we just praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.